Good morning. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John, please, chapter 3. What I would like to share with you this morning is really probably something that we need to keep in mind all the time, which is keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you do, now you can't go wrong, and life is put in perspective. It says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. You all there? We're in John chapter 3, verse 1. Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a Pharisee and a ruler. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee that you must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And then Nicodemus answered and said unto them, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Jesus Christ expected Nicodemus to understand what he was talking about. I don't believe the Lord was pulling his leg. I don't believe that he was trying to trick him. I believe exactly what it says. Jesus Christ expected him, as a man who is a Pharisee, who knew the Word of God, a leader of Israel, to understand exactly what he was talking about. See, Nicodemus was the leader, right? It says in verse 1. And it says that he came to the Lord by night. Sort of tells me he's sneaking around a little bit, doesn't want to be seen doing this. But he acknowledges that Jesus is a teacher from God, because nobody could be doing the miracles that he does except he comes from God. And Jesus doesn't mess around at all. He just cuts right to the chase. You want to come to me? You want to talk? Okay, let's talk about what I want to talk about. There wasn't any, you want a donut and a cup of coffee, it didn't seem like there was any of that. He asked him and tells him right at the beginning, except a man, verse 3, be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he's going to very clearly explain to him or tell him he ought to understand this. Now, most Christians think of, when they think of born again, they think of, the way I was taught in church, is that you're a good Christian, right? You got the Spirit of God within you. You accept Jesus as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, God gives you his Spirit, you're born again. That wasn't even available That isn't even a thought here in the Bible yet. When Jesus spoke this, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So when Christians talk about being born again, they talk from one reference point. But that was not Jesus' reference point. And I think it's much more important and much more correct to understand the scriptures from our Lord's point, not from what we think. Would you agree? I mean, it's sort of a facetious way of putting it, but I just wanted you to rethink. Because there's a lot of things that Christians think that are not in the Bible. But they use illustrations, they use all kinds of anecdotal information that's not in Scripture to explain their position. I think it's more important to humble oneself and to look at Scripture for your explanation than it is for analogies, anecdotal information, the way you think about it or feel about it, and get it straight. So what is this? Jesus expected Nicodemus to understand. He said a man must be born both of water and of spirit. So what is it in the Old Testament scripture that indicates a birth by spirit? I know I've taught you this a number of times, but I just thought I'd go and remind you again and just use maybe a few different verses. First of all, let's go to what the Apostle Paul taught, just so I can show you that this is not, this is also the Apostle Paul's point of view. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, verse 29, we're going to start reading. When the Apostle Paul started his ministry, on his first missionary journey, he entered in and he started to preach to them about the Messiah. And this is part of the teaching. You can read the whole thing for yourself. But starting here in verse 29, he's talking to them, and he's talking to Gentiles basically right now. He's talking to them about the Savior. In verse 29, it says, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them, which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promises which were made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children." Who are the fathers that were spoken of here? Abraham, Isaac, the patriarchs. "God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written." And this is your point of view from the Hebrew Scriptures point of view. The resurrection is spoken of in the second Psalm. "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." The day Jesus was begotten from the dead is the day of his new birth. Begotten is in terms of being born. "This day have I begotten thee." The first birth, he came in a manger. The new birth is in his resurrection. Verse 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, and this is also in the scriptures, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he said also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, the Messiah, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He gives us, just in Paul's teaching here, and this is after Pentecost, talking about the resurrection. And the first verse he gives us in Psalm 2. We'll read that in a little bit. But that second psalm said, This day have I begotten thee. That's the declaration of our God about Jesus Christ in his resurrected form. That's the day he was born again. The day you and I will be born again to die no more. Is going to be at the time of the resurrection. Let's go back to John. Actually, let's go to the second psalm before we go on. I love the second psalm. You can think about the second psalm quite often. The entire psalm, the entire second psalm, is a prophecy concerning about the kingdom to come, our Lord's reign, and when he first comes back. It says, Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God's going to laugh at these folks. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree that the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the othermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I'm looking forward to that day. God's going to laugh when they try to stand against him when it comes to the end. He's going to put his king on his holy hill in Jerusalem. And they better submit. Don't matter who they are, what nation they are. But the declaration of Yahweh is that it's my beloved, this day have I begotten thee. And that is not in Bethlehem. you go through and just for a couple of more references, you know, it talks about in Ezekiel, it says, can these bones live? Remember that record? We went through that. At the end of that section, it says that a whole nation will be born in a day. That's a day of the resurrection. In Jeremiah and in Isaiah, both places, it talks about that at the time, the resurrection, that the individual will be born. Could Nicodemus have understood that concept? Should he have? That one he should have understood, hands down. Because to be born of the Spirit, I mean, I'm not just talking about the Spirit that we have. To be truly born of the Spirit, that put, to have that, what Jesus Christ has is a life-quickening spirit. His resurrected body in the King James is called a life-quickening spirit. See, flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. What does? The resurrected body. That's the part that's going. And, you know, that's about as far as I want to go on the resurrection. But I thought that's beautiful, isn't it? Nicodemus could have understood that. Go back to John chapter 3. See, that's why I believe it's so important for you and I to make sure we see it from the perspective that it's given and not the one that we want to tag onto it. Because my whole life I always thought, well, because you got the Spirit of God within you, you're born again. Well, I believe that I have that Spirit, but it never says that that's my eternal life. It says it's the token of eternal life. It's, you know, the ring on Mary's hand, her wedding ring, is the token of my pledge, my oath. It's not my oath. It's the token of it. It's not the thing. Do you see what I mean? The Spirit that we have, yeah, encourages, I mean, it gives us connection with God. It's got tremendous thing. But it also says in Corinthians, just to prolong this thought here a little bit, it says in Corinthians that these things are going to pass away. Why? Because we're going to get the real deal at the time of the resurrection. These are just the toys. This is just a symbol, a part, a stopgap measure. It's good. I'm not knocking it. But it's just a piece of the action. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He just was clueless. He didn't get it. And a lot of people don't get it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Better get your head in the book, pal. That's the way I'd put it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You better get wise up, my friend. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this is a reference that's in Numbers. Okay, just to show it to you. And again, you should read it there. In Numbers chapter 21. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 21. And in verse 9, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they were traveling in the wilderness, obviously they tempted God many times. They disobeyed him, they tempted him, and each time they were judged. All right? Things didn't go well. Well, they were in this particular situation at this particular time. And one of the things that, one of the judgments that God had was that because of their sin, these vipers, these serpents, came up, bit many people, and many people died. Thousands died. So the people cried unto the Lord, hey, we've sinned, we're sorry, please, you know, deliver us from these serpents. And the Lord said unto Moses, I want you, in verse 9, and Moses made, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, that when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Obeth. So how did you get delivered this time? Okay, he makes this thing, puts it on a pole. You know, it's like the AMA symbol. Probably isn't, but that's the one I got in my head, all right? But the point is in the camp. So you get bit. He didn't take away the snakes. The consequences of their sin, they got the snakes. They got bit. It hurt. But the deliverance is, you look at this thing. You believe what I say after you get bit. You believe the words that I tell you, and you look at this brass serpent, and you're not going to die. Well, here it is, mankind. Go back to John chapter 3. Mankind is in the same boat as the children of Israel were, really, back in Numbers. All men have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. All are going to die. And if they don't believe, they're going to die forever. In other words, they're going to have eternal death. But what God has given us, just like he gave the children of Israel in the wilderness, he has given us a chance to believe his word, to believe on what we need to do in order to be saved, what we need to do in order to be healed as we go through the wilderness of this life. And it says here, verse 14 again, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's going to be put on a pole. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, he's condemned, he's dead already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth trust, he that doth truth, cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And after these things, Jesus came to his disciples in the land of Judea, where they tarried. In the same way that the children of Israel, who had sinned and were facing the consequences of sin, they were given a word and something to keep them. They were to look at this brass serpent that Moses made and put on a pole. And when they did that, they lived. When we keep our eyes on the Lord, when we keep looking at him, trusting in what God has done in him and through him, especially on the cross, where he was lifted up, we will receive life and light and be delivered. We got to keep our eyes on him. There's so much around us to distract us from that. It's all going to be fine. The world we live in is going to go to hell and pass away. It'll pass away. It's okay. Let it go. But we're going to have a new heaven and earth wherein dwells righteousness. We're going to be evermore with the Lord and enjoy eternity with him. That's something to keep your eyes on, because our Lord paid for that on the cross. So when sin, nothing in my life's worth saving, I ought to be dead. I didn't do anything worthy of the kingdom to come. The Lord gave us a word, and he said, look at him. Believe what he's done. And when you believe, because God loved us, gave his Son for us, when you believe on what Jesus Christ did and accomplished, you've got everlasting life. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning.